Hallelujah. How many of you saw the marquee coming in? What does it say, if you remember? Give God thanks for all the good things He's done. Now, this may sound strange. You could start because I'm just jumping right in. I don't like that marquee, and I do not agree with the message. Well, here's my question. What's the message to the person or people who come by and they're in the midst of circumstances and they don't think God is good? You know, it's nothing is not to belittle anyone. You know, nothing against the folks that put it up. But when I thought about it, I mean, it made the entire message for tonight go a different direction. So if you need a title, it's called Unconditional Thanks.
There you go.
Okay. Unconditional Thanks. Amen. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18. Are you there? Let's read it.
It's everywhere.
All right, stop right there. Okay. What are the first two words?
In
everything. Everything. You know what in means? You know what in is used to do? It's an inclusion. Okay, listen to it. It means inclusion within a space, a place, or it limits. It indicates inclusion within something. It also indicates inclusion with an occurrence during a period of time or during a limit of time. In short, it's your inclusion, whether voluntary or involuntary. I mean, it's like you're just in it. That's what it is. And everything means all that exists. It's the opposite of nothing. It's the totality of things relevant to some subject matter. It means every single thing. And it means something else. And it's a word that we've been highlighting a lot lately. It means all. All. In everything. In all things. Whatever you find yourself involved in, give thanks. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means your thankfulness is unconditional. No matter what you're going through, no matter what comes your way, you're giving thanks to God. And we see, unfortunately, too many of us will only give thanks to God when we have an immediate or tangible manifestation. Something we've been believing for happens. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. What are we doing while we're waiting for it to happen? You know, are we thanking God then? You need to think about that. See, if we only wait until something good happens, then we're conditional. We're saying, God, yeah, I'm going to give you things. When you demonstrate to me that you really God, then I'll say thank you. But it like Thomas, unless I see, I feel a nail prints in the hand, I won't believe. Unless I see every promise that you've given me, I won't say thanks. And we'll wait till something happens, and then we'll say, well, I have an occasion to give thanks. Really, the fact that God decided that He needed us here another day is reason enough to give thanks. Because if we're here another day, that means God is trusting us to accomplish something that only we can accomplish this day. And it's like, thank you, Lord. You're trusting me. I appreciate that. That's the position we need to be in. It means your thankfulness is unconditional. Look at Matthew 14. I'm going to share this out of the Amplified Classic Bible. It says, when he, starting with verse 14, in Matthew 14, beginning in verse 14. Hey, honey. Those on the tape, I'm speaking to my wife. When he went ashore and saw a great throng of people, he had compassion, pity, and deep sympathy for them and cured their sick. When evening came, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote and barren place, and the day is now over. Send the throngs away into the villages to buy food for themselves." And Jesus said, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have nothing here, but," well, if you have nothing, there is no but. Because if you have, that means you have something. Okay. Because if you have nothing, there's no but. "We have nothing but two fish." Oh, so you have two fish. You know, well, we have five loaves. Oh, so you do have something. See, that's what we have to look. We have to looking at, stop looking at what we don't have. We have to start looking at what we have. Okay? He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to recline on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. And my question is, why did he give thanks? At that point, he didn't physically have what he needed. If you read further, it says that there were 5,000 people, not including the men and the women. So let's say half the men were married. So that's 7,500. And what if the married folks each had one child? So now that's 10,000 people that you have. And he's presented with five loaves of bread and two fish. And he says, "Thank you." He looks up to heaven, "Thank you." What was he thanking God for? You think about this. What was he thanking God for? What do you thank God for when you're about to eat? "I thank you, Father, for this food that you have provided." And you're talking about provided for the folks that are there with you. So now you're looking out at 10,000 people. And you thank you, Father, for this food that you have provided. This food is blessed. And then he breaks it up, and he gives five loaves and two fish to 12 disciples to give to 10,000 people. Why was he able to do that? He said, "Thank you." Because thank you means he's sure that he was going to have what he needs. Period. And he didn't need to wait until after the folks ate in order to say thank you. See, he understood something that God didn't have written until 1 John 5. Why don't you go there? First John 5, verse 14. Let's read it together. We're going to read the whole passage. I'm not going to stop you after a couple of words, I think. Okay. Let's read, beginning at verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him." See, and again, I say, yeah, but he didn't ask anything specifically. He gave thanks. He prayed. He acted as if he was getting what he needed. Period. And the Bible says faith without works is dead. And Jesus' faith was not dead. See, he handed the pieces to the disciples. Pieces. To 12 disciples for about 10 to feed about 10,000 people. You need to think about that. In the natural, did it look like it's something that he could do? Did it make sense? No, the sensible thing to do would have been what the disciples recommended. Send the people away, let them get their own food. But Jesus said, no, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. Folks, that's why Jesus didn't give the food to the people. He gave it to the disciples who gave it to the people because the instructions were to the disciples, you give them food. But see, there's a principle there. When we say give, you give to God, God gives to the people. First of all, let's do it even another step. Because the Bible says that he gives seed to the sower. So he gives you what he wants you to give to the church so the church can give to the people. Because he put the church here to minister to the people. And then every step along the way, there has to be the giving of thanks. Whether your pockets seem to be filled or empty at the moment is irrelevant. Because your thanks is not built on what you physically have at that moment. It's built on what God has promised. And if you start seeing it that way, then you'll start giving unconditional thanks. And it won't matter whether you see anything happening or not. You won't care how long it takes. All that you're concerned about is God said it. And you're going to keep giving him thanks because he said it. Period. You got to get this principle, folks. Because too many of we wait. There are two things we do. We wait. And I'll tell you the other one when I get to it. If you're thinking that you have an unfulfilled need, you have a faith void. Because you forgot that God said he'll supply all. What does that all word all mean again? Everything without exception. Okay. All inclusive. He's going to provide your every need. So you should never feel like you have a need. Because that's saying God didn't take care of it. The problem is you didn't say thank you. You said, I need, not I give thanks. Because you said you supply all my need. And let that be your peace. Let that be your comfort. And stop concerning about what we think we don't have. In Philippians 4, God said, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Okay. There's no thing, no person, no circumstance anywhere that should give us a reason to be anxious. Why? Because God said, don't be anxious. And that's all we need. Thank you, Father, I'm not anxious. I mean, that's what you do. Instead of, Father, I don't know what I'm going to do. Thank you, Lord, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm trusting you. I'm just going to trust you. There's no thing, no person, no circumstance anywhere that should ever cause us to become anxious. I don't care what the report is. We need to stop putting adjectives in front of the word report. Because first thing we say, I got an evil report. That does something to your thinking. Right away. You know, you got information. Okay. I'm going to show you why you should give thanks for that in a moment. But look at Daniel. Let's go back to the Old Testament for a moment. Because I said there's no thing, no person, no circumstance anywhere that should give us a reason to be anxious. Daniel was a godly person. He was a godly man. Right. He prayed and gave thanks and praise to God 3 times a day, in the same place every day, out there in the window, didn't care who seen it. He didn't care. And as always, there were some folks that were jealous, and they wanted to get Daniel, but they figured since he was so righteous, the only thing they could do was get him in something concerning God. So all the governors, in verse 7, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps and counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So they passed the law that for 30 days you couldn't pray to anybody except the king, or you're thrown into a lion, into the den of lions. And my first thought when I read that was, why would they think the king would want to sign that into law? Because now he has the responsibility of making all this stuff happen. But he signed it. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the decree. Look at verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew the decree was written and signed by the king. And he also knew that he gave thanks and praise to God 3 times a day in the window. He didn't get anxious about it. He continued, says, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. He's like, I don't care what they say. I'm going to continue to give thanks to God. Now, he knew about the lion's den. He knew that the king threw people in the lion's den. He was very familiar with the law of the Medes and Persians. He knew once it was the law, that was it. And it did not mean anything to him because he was going to give thanks to his God. In the midst of that situation, he was given thanks. Because it said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in the Amplified Bible says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ, the revealer and mediator of that will. See, there is this great, what I call a great debate. You know, and I've heard it, and most of you know my position on it. It's like, you don't thank God for all things. You only thank him in all things. You don't thank God for everything that comes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And that's not my opinion. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I started laughing when I read that because, you know, Father and I joke with each other. You know, I mean, God does have a sense of humor. You know. And I started thinking, I said, why would you put that scripture right after you say be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit? This is what he said to me. The world drinks to get drunk to party so they can forget what troubles them. We get filled with the Spirit of God to get drunk to remember that whatever comes to trouble us, God has already given us a victory over it. He said, so if you find yourself in a position where you can't give thanks unconditionally to God, get drunk. Get drunk. Get yourself filled with the Spirit, and you'll be so good. You won't care who sees you, how loud you sound, how loud you won't care. You'll be just so full, you just can't help but give thanks to God. You just can't help it. But if you start thinking, you start analyzing the circumstance, you won't see God in it. And if you don't see God in it, you won't say thanks. Because you think that he's abandoned you. You start singing that song, maybe if I call out his name, he'll come running. No, he said he'd never leave you or forsake you. Never. That means he is always with us. That means without exception, he's right there with us. Period. There isn't any time when he'll leave us because he said so. He made a promise to us. So it doesn't matter where you are or what you are in or why you're in the situation you're in. It doesn't matter. Thank you, Lord. See, because this isn't a calamity I'm in. This is an opportunity that I have. It isn't a calamity that's designed to take me out. This is an opportunity for me to demonstrate the victory that you gave me. Because remember, it says that he gives us the victory. He takes the victory from our adversary and gives it to us forever. That's what that word gives mean. You take what legally belongs to somebody and give it to somebody else as a permanent possession. That's the word gives. And he gives us the victory. So no matter what comes, it's an opportunity for you to demonstrate victory. So you say, thank you. I mean, it's really that simple. I've told you this before. I didn't ask God, you know, why me? I thank God because it was me. I know what to do with this. Thank you that someone doesn't have it, that doesn't know what to do when they die. I remember Pastor Clinton said something, and he said a lot of things that stuck with me. But one time he was talking about that. He said, God, why me? He said, and God said, well, who would you want me to give it to? I mean, he didn't give you this one in the first place. But that's what he said, Lord, why? I thought I was your child. What do you mean, thought? Didn't I say that you were my child? Is my word not good enough? Because if we get to the place where we start thinking, I thought I was, maybe I thought I was saved. Maybe I thought I could do all things through Christ. Either way, but now I don't know anymore. Now where there were no questions, now I have questions. And if I have questions, I can't open my mouth in thanksgiving because I'm not sure. I start analyzing this. I said, look at all the things that have happened to me now. Wait a minute. And you start going down the list. And you don't realize that in order for stuff to happen to you, you have to be alive. Just thank God for that. Because if you don't want anything to ever happen to you, say your goodbyes, right? And just go on home and be with the Lord. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have... you will have opportunities to say thank you, okay? You will have opportunities to believe that God is. And if we just look and wait for good things to happen before we lift our hands and say thanks, then are we really giving thanks from a grateful heart? We need to ask ourselves that question. If we can't say thanks, give God a genuine thank you in the midst of what appears to be a horrific situation, do we really believe we are who God says we are? And we have what God says we have? And see, I can only answer that question for me. I can't answer it for anybody else. But individually, we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe this? And if we do, Thanksgiving is not a season for us. It's a way of life. And we don't need to be prodded to give thanks. We give thanks because we're so drunk in God's goodness that all we can think about is saying thank you. I mean, I personally think it feels better to say thank you, be excited and say thank you, than be emotional and say, oh, me. Thank you is better than I don't know what to do. Thank you, Lord, is better than I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know if I'm going to survive this, Lord. Have you read the reputation? And he's trying to put fear in folks' eyes. Like, I mean, it just seems to be an epidemic of blood clots. I mean, there have been about 5-6 people that we know. One left and went home from it. And I'm thinking, no. No, we're going to stop taking ourselves for granted. We're going to drink water. We're going to get the right oils in our body. We're going to get up and start moving around. We're going to walk. You know, I was talking with someone today, and they said, you know, you don't hear about farmers, people working the fields, having blood clots. Because they're not sedentary. They're not sitting down. they're chopping down trees, and they're just moving around. They're doing things. They're getting their body moving. And they're eating the right foods, and they're drinking water. I mean, when I found out all of the factors, see, we can't just say, well, the devil brought it on. Let me tell you something, folks. Do you believe that Jesus gave us authority over all the power of the enemy? Do we really believe that? Then how can he put something on us? I mean, think about that. He has to, how many of you have to stop when a police officer raises his hand and goes like this? Well, the devil has to stop when we do the same thing in using the authority that we have. But the problem is that we either don't understand we have it or we don't believe we have it. And we think that what the devil presents is greater than what God gave us. And it is not so. What we have is greater. The problem is we didn't know it. So we don't act like it's greater. And we wind up succumbing to things. God said, Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus put all things where? Okay. Well, he said under his feet. We'll get to our feet in a minute. Okay. Now, in proportion to your body, you know, is your feet attached to your body or to your head? Okay. So who's the head? So that Jesus said he put all things under his, which means that all things are under his body. Who is his body? So he's put all things under. We have to realize that. If it's under our feet, it's under our feet. Do you know you have authority over anything that's under your feet? Because they're not going anywhere unless you move your foot. So why have we taken our foot off of the adversary and allowed him to act like He's filled with power over us that he doesn't have. He's powerful, folks, but he's not more power. He has to yield to our authority. Just like that police officer could be like Barney Fife. Oh, okay. And you put him out there on 59, and all he has to do is go like this. And everything moving has to stop. Everything out there is more powerful than he is. But nothing else out there has the authority that he has. And that's the way, it doesn't matter how, so we'll find it. He flexes his muscles. Okay, that's fine. In the name of Jesus. And he has to stop. But if we're not walking around, thank you, Lord. You're so good. Lord, you're just so good. Thank you for the authority that you've given me. Thank you that the devil's under my feet. I'm talking about in the midst of circumstances. We're saying this. In the midst of it, when he's walking around roaring like a lion, we're like in his bad breath. Thank you, Lord, that I have authority. I mean, because that's how close you are. We have to stop running away. You get right up on him. I mean, I wasn't saved when I did this, but the principle is good. I mean, when folks told me, I'll see you after school. Oh, no, I got it. No, we're going to take care of this thing right now, right here, on my terms. Okay? I have other things to think about. I'm not going to be thinking about what I'm going to have to do to you after school. I'm going to do it to you now. And then the rest of the day, I'm going to be at peace. That's what we have to do with the enemy. Stop playing with him. You have authority. Thank God for it and then act on it. It's that, and stop waiting for God to do what he's given us the authority to do. We spend so much time, too much time. I don't know how I got over here, Lord. But we spend too much time submitting idle prayers. You say, well, why are they idle? Because you're praying about something you already have. And God's not going to do anything about it. Yeah, you're going to be praying. He's going to be, okay. And you're just going on and on and on and on. Think about that. Didn't God say you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus? You sure? So why are we going pray? Would you pray for me? I need a blessing. For what? If you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that means the only thing that you haven't been quote-unquote blessed with are blessings that does not come from heavenly places, and I don't think you want those. No. So if you've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings, all of them, without exception, nothing left out, in Christ Jesus, what's there to be concerned about? What's there to feel uncomfortable, to feel any dread? You're unsure. There's nothing there, folks. We have it all already. Thank you, Lord. That's why you don't have to wait. You already have it. You know what God said. You believe what God said. That's reason enough to just say thank you. You don't need to have a physical manifestation. You have something better than that. You have God's promise. And that has to be good enough for us. Is it good enough for you? It has to be. And since that's so, our lives and our lifestyles should change. We should just be growing by leaps and bounds, gaining new ground every day, not taking a back seat to anything. Why? Because God said we're the head, not the tail. head doesn't travel in the backside. I mean, that's just the way it is. The head is the one that decides where the body is going, not the enemy. So wherever God tells you to go, it doesn't matter if it's from the palace to the ghetto. You say, thank you, God, for this place that you've provided for me. And thank you, Lord, get prophetic. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're going to have me do in this new place. I'm thanking you right now for it, God. Because I know you sent me, I'm on assignment. And I know whatever work you have there for me, you've already equipped me to do it. And if I'm not equipped at this moment, the minute I face it, I will be. So I thank you. And that's the way we go through our lives. We don't hold back from anything, folks. We don't wait until we see the manifestation before we open our mouths and say thank you to God. We don't need to. There was a song, "Don't Wait Till the Battle's Over, Shout Now." And don't complain about what you have to go through. Because we'll do that and we'll say, I thought I had the victory. Or we'll say things like, doesn't feel like I have the victory. God never said, I'll give you the feeling that you have the victory. He said, I give you the victory. And we do understand that victory means that we've been in a fight. And when you're in a fight, you don't get hit with air. Okay. You get hit with real punches that hurt. But that's why it says, he who endures to the end. I've been saying this a lot lately because when I read this story, it's just, when I saw the movie, it intrigued me. But when I started reading the stories surrounding it, I got a better understanding. Because that fight between Jack Johnson and Jesse Willard was scheduled for 40 rounds. And for 26 rounds, Jack Johnson beat the tar out of Jesse Willard. But then in the 26th round, he had to lay down and be counted out because it was a fixed fight. Jesse Willard, I don't know whether he knew it was fixed or not, because there's controversy over that. But when you read what he said, he was like, I wish he would have laid down sooner, because he said, I took a lot of heat out there. But he took the heat and his arm was raised, the victor. He was in a fixed fight. But he still had to take heat. We're in a fixed fight, but we're still going to have to take some heat. I mean, that's one of the things the Bible talks about when, you know, talks about the trying of your faith. Your faith is going to go through the fire. It's going to go through. And you're going to have to say thank you every step of the way. I figure that was, you know, that was in the Can't Touch This song that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were singing when they were in the furnace. You know. And you notice, they never backed down. Come on now. This was a king that terrified the nations, plural. This was a king where the entire nation of Israel disobeyed God because they were afraid of this king. Even their high priests bowed down before that idol. But these three teenage boys said, we ain't doing that. No, and we don't even have to think about it. Our God will. But just so you'll know how serious we are about this, even if God won't deliver us, we still not bowing down. No. Why? That's not who we are. Period. And we need... I used to wonder why God put some things in the Bible. And I came to the conclusion that he's trying to show us something. They didn't have what we have. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have Jesus as an example. They didn't even have their own lives to read about and be encouraged. All they had, and you Bible scholars correct me if I need to be, but all they had was the law. They had God's, you will not worship any other gods. Period. That's what they had. And that's what they believed. They didn't have Clinton Utterbach to teach them for 30 years. They didn't have that. They just believed the word of God. And look at what happened by them believing. The king made a decree. Nobody, can you imagine? We conduct ourselves in such a way that the president makes a decree that nobody can talk against our God or they'll be thrown in the furnace. But that's what happened. The king changed his heart because these three boys stood on who they were in God. And we have a better covenant, and we need a solid manifestation to say thank you? I don't think so. No, we're a thankful group of people. We know our God. We know who we are. And we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed. Our thanksgiving is not conditional. We give God unconditional thanks. If it looks like he's not doing anything in your life, we're still going to give him thanks. Why? Because he's God. And because whatever he said to you is true. Even if he spanks you, thank you, Lord. Because he knows, you know that if he takes the time to correct you, he loves you. Do we understand? Because the reason I asked that question is because I've been trying to unhook for the last 20 minutes. No, I'm serious. And God will keep telling me, say this again, say this again, say this again. If he's doing that to me, then there's somebody that's really having a hard time. And God wants you to know, let it go and give him thanks. That's all. There's a call I have to answer tomorrow. And the person wrote in the email, Pastor Carr, please don't tell me that I have to wait on God. I don't have anything else. That's it. You've emptied out my repertoire. Taking all my ammunition. Because if you don't believe that God's going to come through, there really isn't any reason for me to call. But I'll call because I said I would. But I'm going to say, you need to humble yourself and open your mouth in thanksgiving to God for everything that's happened. For everything that went opposite of what you wanted. Why? Because God has something. Obviously, if God wanted you to have it that way, he would do it. But God's not going to let you develop trust in the system. Because what are you going to do when the system changes? He wants you, we're not supposed to have trust in anybody other than him. And that's why we give him thanks. Because he's going to do it. He's going to. Why don't you stand on your feet? And I don't want you to think about anything that God has done or is doing for you. I want you to think about him being God. You just think about, just think that he's God and what that means. And then you give him the appropriate thanks. And just think about it. Think about everything about Jesus, who Jesus is. That's all. Just forget for a moment what he did. Just think about who he is. Folks, and the reason this isn't very important is because the enemy will come with things to cause you to not remember who God is and who Jesus is and who you are because of the two of them and how much wisdom that you have because we have the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us into all, one translation says, all the truth there is. We need to think on those things and have a grateful and thankful heart. And you will amaze yourself as how you will start handling things differently. You'll start feeling differently about different circumstances that come your way just because you're zoned into who God is and who Jesus is. That's really all that matters. Once you get zoned in, you stay in. And as they say, wild horses couldn't get you to leave. And the wild horses are going to come. But you're locked in to who God is. You're locked in. And that's enough. Where you can open it in every situation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to demonstrate who you are and who I am because I'm in Christ. Thank you, Lord. There's an opportunity for me to demonstrate that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Thank you, Lord. There's an opportunity for me to demonstrate that the devil's under my feet, right where you placed him. Thank you, Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord. You provide for all of my needs, all of them, without exception. And I thank you, Lord, that there isn't a thing on this planet, off this planet, anywhere in the universe that can cause me to be anxious. Nothing. But in everything, everything, I'm going to give you praise and thanksgiving. Now, Lord, this is more than a season to us. This is who we are. This is our life. This is our life. We live a thankful life. And we are not ashamed or embarrassed about it. And folks, we have to get to the place that wherever we are, just like Deacon Kevin shared once, you're in the store. And you're like, thank you, Lord. just a thought comes in, something about what God did or is doing. Thank you, Lord. You see someone thank you, Lord, because you're going to give me the words to minister to this person. And we won't leave people. We'll say, well, I didn't feel a leading to talk to them. You've been given instructions. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes not will be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick. Didn't say if you feel led to do so. you'll cast out devils. You know what that means, folks? If a devil's present, cast them out. I wasn't led to cancel. I didn't think they were ready. No, you weren't ready. This is a commission, right? We call it the Great Commission for the church. So how many of you have been in the middle? Well, I have, saw it back there. So Deacon Tony, when you were given an order, did you wait until you had a leading before you followed that order? When you were given an order, we've been given an order. Go into all the world. It's why we stay and hang out in our own neighborhoods. We've been given an order to go. We've been given an order to lay hands. We've been given an order to cast out devils. We've been given an order. And we believe it. So we thank, before we leave that, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission today. Thank you. And when you see a candidate for it, you get excited. You say, thank you for the next one that I'm going to come across. Because you've seen this one and you know that once you speak, it's going to be done with this person. So you're thinking about the next one. Because this is done. Why? Because this is the confidence that we have. We ask anything according to his will. He hears us. If we know he hears us, we know we have the petition that we ask. Thank you. I'm unhooking. Because if I don't, we'll be here till midnight. You may be seated. No, I'm serious. Because it won't let me go. We have to believe we are. We're everything that God created us to be. Everything. As Diana Jones would say, we're all that in a bag of chips. Kind with a little bit of salt.